Type 40. We're a Doctor Who podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we take an in-depth and even closer look at this beloved television series, the spin-offs, and even the merchandise. Doctor Who's a global fandom phenomenon that has shaped the landscape of science fiction and fantasy for 56 years now, clocking up another this very day. So light the candles, pull your popper, if you've got one, obviously, and share our journey together here on Type 40. Yes, happy Doctor Who Day. Type 40's back in your ears on this crispy grey November day for more of our blend of the silly, the geeky, the timey, and the whimey. Though I think somebody may have had the last of that. I'll have to have a look. Who's this for? What's he going on about? Well, I'm Dan Hadley, your regular Type 40 pilot, Birmingham's King of the Geeks, though in truth a modest, lifelong Doctor Who fan, as maybe you are. But maybe not. Either works for us here. There's no gatekeeping or gates wide open for conversation, fun and games. And I'm not alone. You're never alone in Doctor Who fandom, are you? And my notifications are positively pinging to tell me that a certain starry-eyed time girl's about to materialise. Sarah Graham, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Happy Doctor Who Day.
Happy Doctor Who Day. Yay.
How are you? What's going on? It's been a few weeks. What's happening with Sarah?
Oh, it's all been going off here. I had a lovely time in Cardiff not so long ago, and I got to meet the wonderful RTD himself, but I'm going to save that for another show. I'm going to tease you about that.
Yeah, they got that coming up as well, haven't we? Yeah, because you go all over the place, don't you? Try and catch as many sort of geeky related events as you possibly can, screenings and meetings and things like that. So yeah, I'm sure I see you sort of whizzing up and down the motorway junction by me. But that must be Sarah, I think.
In the Whomobile.
In the Whomobile, yeah. It's Doctor Who Day again, and the sort of cold November nights are back, aren't they? It's all a little bit grey and a little bit miserable, but it does bring the history of Doctor Who back to mind, doesn't it, and our personal histories with it. So I'm delighted, you know, because it's always lovely to see and hear from you, but I'm delighted that you're back for this particular edition, because it's our first casual edition, really, since we came back for season two, whenever that was, way back, probably in Easter. So it's long overdue, and let's be honest, we're about as daft as one another with this stuff, aren't we? Yeah. But before we lead each other too astray just yet, we mustn't forget, like all good Time Lords, to observe some essential fixed points, because Type 40 is proudly part of the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find each and every edition of this show, past, present and future, on the FPNet master feed at fpnet.podbean.com and FPNet on the Podbean app, that fantastic app. I use it all the time. The Fandom Podcast Network's also on Spotify, Stitcher and Google Play, as well as the Apple Podcasts app, formerly known as iTunes, of course. I'm pretty much used to it now, but you know, if you are, maybe you're not, I don't know. Search for us there, add us and share us. There's our social media presence, Instagram and Twitter, Type 40, Doctor Who. And yeah, should you wish for extra, I'm slurring my speech already. I haven't even opened the bottle. Extra dimensional talk in real time. You can search for us on Facebook. We've got the Type 40 Facebook group. Join some fellow travellers of all ages from all over the world. Doctor Who talk, daily shares, you name it, it's there. Links are in the show notes, as always. Sarah, remind our companions where we can find you on social media.
You can find me on Twitter at Starry Eyed Girl.
Simple.
Just simple, yeah. Just the one now.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as The Space Book, where I talk about all things outside of the TARDIS, if I have to, in movies, TV, comics, just plain old geeking out daily, as I do in the Facebook group with the friendliest crowd of geeks you could possibly find. So come and find us. Come and have a chat there. Oh, yeah. Chat. Chatter. Celebrations. That's the order of the day, Sarah. Because it's Doctor Who Day again. They roll around quickly, even quicker than my birthdays. And but I've said this before, because you know, and I think we've chatted about it numerous times, haven't we? Because as Doctor Who fans, you know, it has to be said, and from an outsider's point of view, it must seem like we're always celebrating something or another. Actors' birthdays to the fictional characters' death days. there are people still mourning Yanto and even people mourning Adric. it is nice to mark these things, you know, with the way we do with the anniversary of the second coming of Doctor Who in Eastamp from March 2005. You know, or we may celebrate little things, little victories, hadn't we? Like when all four parts of the Tomb of the Cybermen were rediscovered and came out on VHS or whatever. But are you a very sort of date-minded person, Sarah? Do you keep a calendar and things like that?
I don't.
There's no need to be so shy about it.
I actually have two calendars. I have one for like my family and friends, and then I have got my Doctor Who calendar, and that's got all the geek stuff in. And yeah, it's just mainly just a bit of fun, but also it's when it's a slow year. You know, when we have these gap years, it is nice to punctuate it with these, you know, these little celebrations.
Little flushes of Doctor Who trivia and remember, on this day, OTDs, as I call them.
Yeah.
With a show like this, I suppose for all the big franchises, really, but this one's obviously this one being the best, we've got more of them. With all these anniversaries, all these days, you could be celebrating some fact or figure to do with Doctor Who every day if you so choose. And, you know, for example, we were talking about Target Books on the show recently, and, you know, myself and Simon Horton, who was on that week, and we'd all got our Target Books out, and I'd scribbled the dates that I'd bought these books into the inside covers and things like that, you know, where I could remember them, you know, to preserve those first experiences and to sort of circle them on my personal calendar, my personal timeline. But we're dropping this edition of the show on the 23rd of November 2019, the series' 56th anniversary. You've been watching the show a long time now, so is this, as it is with me, is this date etched into your soul now? You wouldn't need the calendar, would you?
I wouldn't need the calendar for this.
And it's been picked up. It has definitely been picked up by the mainstream media. But how have you marked it over the years? You know, have you gone to events, or have you done something special with the family and things like that?
Yeah, I've not really gone to an event. I would have liked to have gone. There was lots of things going off for the 50th. But I just had my second son, Zach, so obviously I wasn't going anywhere with that. But I usually do something at home, maybe with the kids or, you know, with friends like yourself.
Because you like a bake, don't you?
I do, yeah. I have got the Doctor Who cookbook, so usually that comes out off the shelf and I'll do something. And yeah, again, it's just a bit of fun, and it's nice to have that and preserve that kind of, you know, Saturday tea time family, you know, kind of feeling, you know, because you don't really seem to get it much now, you know, the streaming and everybody watching TV at different times, and it's nice just to get the family. I feel like I'm preserving some kind of tradition.
I think you're right. I think there was a certain, back in 2005 when Doctor Who came back, it was kind of going that way anyway. Obviously, we didn't have streaming then, but we had other distractions. And I think Doctor Who played its part in holding back the tide a little. But now, things are drastically, drastically different. And I'm not sure there is event TV in the same way anymore. And it's good that Doctor Who, it's been one of the last ones standing. But yeah, I think it probably has gone. But to me, Doctor Who Day is kind of every Saturday anyway, even when Doctor Who itself, even when it wasn't on Saturday last year, or to come to think of it, during the 80s, Doctor Who Day did seem like Saturday. All this preoccupation with dates, you know, I use phrases like OCD and anally retentive and all that sort of thing. But it's only, things like this are only a problem if they hold you back from doing stuff in the day to day and in the future, aren't they? And, you know, so they don't preoccupy me. But I think it's a little bit about everything in moderation. And, you know, I was, as a child, I was a keen diarist. they were hardly the Samuel Pepys or Anne Frank kind of level of importance, you know, my nan's birthday and what I had for my tea when the next issue of Secret Wars or the Transformers was coming out. But all these other little dates over the years, you know, I'd get a new diary, usually for Christmas. I'd always get a new diary for Christmas. And the very first date even above my own birthday, that I would go and write in as a must remember was November the 23rd. And those two words, Doctor Who. Still have diaries now. I've got two. I've got one to keep in my pocket and one that's a work diary. But yeah, after I put in my kids' birthdays, which I'd never forget anyway, but it's just a habit, isn't it?
Yeah.
After I put in my kids' birthdays, Doctor Who Day is still the very next one I put in. If the kids are listening, yeah, I always put yours in first, aren't I? But we, as this time of year as well, Sarah, another reason why I wanted to talk to you is because a few years ago, at around this time, was when we first met, didn't we?
It was, yes.
through the miracle, the magic window of social media, no less. And because it was around the time the trailer for the return of Dr. Mysterio, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, so all that, and, you know, that was kind of wintry and all the rest of it. So, you know, I always think of you when this comes round to me.
Oh, thank you. Well, we bonded because we seem to be the only people who liked it.
I remember you saying that to me because you'd been talking about it, and I think they'd put out a trailer or whatever, and I thought it seemed okay. Yeah, I ended up not liking that one very much, funnily enough. But yeah, I thought the trailer was okay, and I was just so pleased to see it back. But I've been and had a look on the Checkaday website, believe it or not, which is sort of like TripAdvisor. Because I was thinking, well, you know, my children are getting older now. I know yours are, and it's not so easy to amuse them, is it? You know, and no. I thought, well, what am I going to do for Doctor Who Day from now on? So I went to have a look at this website, which it's like TripAdvisor for special occasions, okay. And it says that we should celebrate the day by watching Doctor Who. Well, so I suppose that's rocket science. There are so many episodes to choose from, but since today celebrates the anniversary of the show, it may be good to start with the first ever episode in An Earthly Child. Besides watching episodes, there are spin-offs, including comic books, novels, audio dramas, and the appearances on stage. These could all be sought out and enjoyed today. If you have friends or also into Doctor Who, you could have a Doctor Who-themed party where you could dress up as characters from the show to watch those favourite episodes together. So if I could open up now the ultimate Doctor Who dressing up box and pull out Mr. Ben style, your ideal costume, what would it be?
Oh, it's got to be the scarf. Tom Baker scarf, especially on a cold November day. Yeah.
Just the scarf. You want the coat
as
well.
I want the coat and the hat and the jelly babies. Yeah, they will have the whole lot.
Yeah, I think I was going to go for something full body. You know, probably a Robots of Death outfit because there's a lot of padding in that. Be quite warm. It looks like an all over Gillette, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can zip it up as far down as you like. I think I'd probably be very snug. And I'd have to get the boots, obviously. They'd be quite good. I'd probably struggle to go running in those. All this thing with Doctor Who Day. Obviously, Doctor Who's always had an anniversary since 1964. But we bandy this expression about all the time now. In the 21st century, and I think it probably is a consequence of the social media age that brought us together. You know, it does bring a lot of people together. It does bring a lot of positivity to all fandoms, you know, as well as the more negative stuff. But yeah, it does seem like every day when you're a social media user is either a national, international, or even an intergalactic day of something. Universal things that, you know, for children's charities or mental health awareness day and things like that. But to national hugging day or national no smoking day or talk like a pirate day. And I'm convinced I invented that. I've surfed papers some time ago. We're going to see what comes of that. But because when we first met, that's something that we used to laugh about all the time. Mm. Is that something that you still observe? Have you got any favourites of all that lot?
Probably National Chocolate Day. I like the food ones, but yeah, just think who comes up with them? And
it does seem so random, doesn't it? It does seem really random.
Yeah, I don't, I'm sure it's just a ploy for card shops, really.
Well, this is marketing. It is to support an industry, I'm sure, because that's where Jif Lemon Day, obviously, you know, we joke about that in Great Britain, and that comes off the back of a specific product. I should explain a squirty lemon drizzle sauce, would you say, that we sprinkle on pancakes at Pancake Day every year, is it? So they sort of piggyback that a little. But there are other products as well, other properties. Well, I suppose in sci-fi terms, we must acknowledge this, Adam, because it did all start with the Star Wars fans. It was it was them that refined this here with Star Wars Day and May the 4th. And
was it Star Wars? I wondered if it was Star Trek.
I could be. If I'm not saying it didn't. Star Trek fans have certainly been around for a lot longer, and they've been together as a fandom for a lot longer. Mm. So it wouldn't surprise me that. Because one of the things I noticed since the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, they've claimed that they've staked September the 8th as Star Trek Day. We've got Star Wars Day. We've got Fox are trying to sort of make Alien Day a big thing, aren't they? But I can't remember where any of that is. You know, there's a Harry Potter Day. Harry Potter Day is in May. I found this out the other day.
Why May?
Why that? Well, according to the fans, it's to honour the date where Harry did battle, that final battle with the evil Lord Voldemort.
Oh, I assumed it would be the September the 1st when he goes to Hogwarts. That's the start. Yeah.
The start of the academic year.
Yeah.
Oh no! Yeah, you might want to make a point of objection to that one then. I need to
brush up on Harry Potter then, don't I?
Yeah, all the Quidditch rules and things like that. Yeah, so Doctor Who, we are sort of playing catch up with this with the vernacular, but we're definitely not with the occasion. First by some decades, but over the years, Doctor Who itself, it has marked its birthday whenever and however it could, whether it was in production or not. The Five Doctors premiered in America, and this still stings, guys. Come on, it's premiered in America on November the 23rd in 1983, we got it 2 days later. But the 25th anniversary romp, if you can call it that, Silver Nemesis Part 1, that actually aired in the UK on the big night in 1988. And 25 years later, there was the unforgettable culmination to Doctor Who 50 Week with the Day of the Doctor that premiered everywhere on the 23rd of November in 2013. So we all got to sort of share that. It's unforgettable.
No, it's how occasion. You just kind of glossed over dimensions in time then.
Well, you know, technically it was a Children in Need production, not a Doctor Who production. But yeah, the Children in Need charity, EastEnders mashup, would you say? Yeah. EastEnders mashup in 3D, I think that would have aired, I think they banged that out a week or so later. So it was around the time of the anniversary, certainly on the cable channel Gold. They had the DW at 40. That was when they used to use the sort of the at sign everywhere all the time. At 40 weekend on Gold, where they showed so many classic stories, and they'd got specially filmed interviews and things like that they dropped in. You know, both of those things, all in all fairness, Dimensions in Time, both that and DW at 40 were big benchmarks of the wilderness years, and the fact that, you know, the show wasn't in production and it could generate all that somewhere for somebody to watch. You know, I had to put a couple of videotapes in for the entire day for the UK Gold one, because I've got tiny children there when that was going on. But yeah, there was always something. I think it's because there are people who worked in television. A lot of people who work in television now, as we know, are Doctor Who fans. In fact, they never stop reminding us and telling us. And I'm sure some of them are making it up. But back in the 80s and even the 90s, I think it was starting to creep in then. I think that people were sort of in the closet and they would just show it a little here and there. I remember Colin Baker cutting a 23rd birthday cake. I mean, you can't get much more random than a 23rd birthday. You know, it's not particularly significant. And that was on the children's show Saturday Superstore, Saturday morning on BBC One in 1986, with Mike Reed and Sarah Green, if anybody remembers that. It's considered the poor man's Swap Shop, wedged between Swap Shop and Going Live, the two shows that everybody liked. This was a bit low rent. But it was Colin Baker, I think he had got a leather jacket on or something, cutting this enormous cake in the presence of Ludo and Jennifer Connelly from the film Labyrinth. But of course, Labyrinth had just come out then. Yeah. Jennifer Connelly was an unknown, really. She certainly wasn't a big star. Nobody knew her by name. In fact, Ludo got probably all the attention, really. Certainly took up half the studio. This was television centre. So you've seen that on YouTube?
I've seen, yeah.
Do you scroll through? You put searches into YouTube and look at all these videos from things
yeah,
in Doctor Who's past?
Yeah, because obviously I grew up in the wilderness years, so I missed out. I do have a very early memory of watching Dimensions in Time.
Well, you're still laughing about it, so it's traumatized you too much.
Nobody wants that as an early memory, do they?
It depends which bits you catch, yeah, because there's a lot. I would imagine that it's a bit like a cheese dream now. You've got sort of distended heads floating around the place, some very strange costume choices, and, of course, you've got the familiarity of it being looking like EastEnders half the time. And looking like a show that, you know, hadn't been on TV for 4 years. If you were little when that was on, you know, you were like 6 or 7. You wonder what the hell was going on.
I remember being quite fascinated with it, but yeah, it is very odd. It is just like an hallucination.
Well, I remember being, because I'd been and bought the Radio Times, and the 3D glasses, you could pick them up in Asda. Pick these 3D glasses up. You made a slight donation to Children in Need. And everybody, the Fowl family, would sit around watching it. Because they got a whole sort of season of 3D programmes on that week. And this, the Dimensions in Time, it was sort of the culmination of it all, really. This exclusive Doctor Who thing, which, as you know, only runs to about 15 minutes. It is all part of the fun and the kind of thing that we had to sort of turn up for in the wilderness years and be counted, really, at a time where it did look like Doctor Who wouldn't jump back into life, in a sense. It was just an opportunity to wave the flag a little and get people talking about it. But of course, probably didn't turn out for the best. We'll see. We'll have to talk some more. I know somebody was connected to Dimension in Time, so we might have to talk a little bit more about that in the future. It's time we took a short break, I think. Sarah, have you heard of something called the Fandom Podcast Network?
I remember somebody mentioning it maybe once or twice.
Yes, because you're the proud owner of the classic Type 40 T-shirt, aren't you?
And you wear
it beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
And you could too. You could, just like Sarah, you could have that fantastic shirt and several others. There's a few designs, choice of colours. If you just visit our Tee Public store, you can search for the Fandom Podcast Network. We've got a storefront on Tee Public. You can browse the selection of hats, caps, mugs, and whatever else featuring logos and designs for all the other shows on the Fandom Podcast Network too. It's ideal for Christmas or birthdays or both. What other shows? That'll be these.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Yes, there's few better winter warmers than a smartphone full of shows from the Fandom Podcast Network. The guys on Culture Clash, Kevin and Kyle, are at it weekly, and they'll be reviewing the whole of 2019 in geek culture soon on that show. Don't miss it. It's my very favourite. Of course it is. How could it not be? Sarah, what other TV shows and movies have made 2019 for you since it's been light on Doctor Who? What's made those starry eyes extra bright?
Movie-wise, I think my two favourite films are Elite, A Battle Angel, which I know nothing about. I didn't realise it was an anime. And we loved it. The kids loved it. Really hoping it gets the sequel because it deserves to. And The Joker, which obviously it isn't a film you'd want to watch, you know, every day. but yeah, I thought it was an absolute masterpiece in filmmaking. The excitement of Avengers Endgame, although it's kind of dying down now. Now I've watched it again. It's kind of lost some of its...
Do you think it's one of those things? It was a moment in time. It was like a culmination of something bigger in pop culture.
I enjoyed it, but I think on multiple rewatches you start to notice things like the plot and certain scenes.
Because there's nothing wrong with either approaches, with something more literate like Joker, and something that is unashamedly celebratory and popcorn-y. I mean, you know, Doctor Who's done enough of that. So, I'm partial to both. Yeah. So when I see directors like, who was it? It was Martin Scorsese taking a bit of a swing at the MCU recently.
He did, yes.
And I get what he's saying. He's not wrong. You know, he's very, very right. But, it's the idea that people should be shamed about watching and enjoying this stuff. I think this...
Really uncalled for. You know, everything's got its place. One film I did watch, which was only last week, the new Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon.
Oh!
You need to watch it. You need to watch it. It is just...
Well, I love the first one.
...of sci-fi tropes.
They're big Doctor Who fans on Shaun the Sheep.
Yes, they are. It gets... The sonic screwdriver turns up. The Daleks turn up.
Daleks.
I won't spoil it, but there's a scene where the sheep have to get in disguise. It's very, but oh, you know, the riff on War of the Worlds, Close Encounters, X-Files, you name it, it's there. The first scene is a garage. It pans into a garage, and the garage is called HG Wheels. So that is the level.
they're tremendous fun. But the shorts are as well as the films.
It was an absolute joy. It really was. We loved it. We did. And because obviously there was stuff in for the kids, but there's also stuff in for the grown-ups, like little things. That is a sci-fi like an organisation, kind of like Men in Black, and they're all there in the suits, and there's a canteen, and one of them's got a mountain of mashed potato, and it's just little nods like that, and there's a code on a security door, and it's the X-Files theme tune.
That's all we need. Just throw us a bone every now and again. We're perfectly happy. Just to keep us awake. There is always something going on in those movies. The Wallace and Gromits and all that sort of thing. And the Simpsons at its best used to do lots of that stuff. Certainly kept me watching with my kids. Yeah, I love it. Serving the entire family as Doctor Who has done that better than most, probably better than anything in the past. And that the connection with the family and what we spoke about Children in Need earlier on, the 30th anniversary event that I mentioned in time, that connection with Children in Need, it's been a mutually beneficial one between the show and the telethon, certainly since its earliest days. So it's quite handy of them, isn't it, really, to schedule it for this time of the year?
Yes.
I think it just sort of evolved like that, really, because Children in Need started out on radio, I believe, in the early 70s with an hour, and then to television just for a couple of hours, and now it's the biggest, most regular UK telethon certainly. But favourite Children in Need moments, you know, when the ones that didn't confuse you, are they the minisodes of the Russell T Davies era, or the stuff that Stephen Moffat used to do, where he'd give us those sneaky scenes from what was coming next, like the Doctor Mysterio?
I think the RTD stuff I really enjoyed Time Crash. And the first one, which I don't think had a name, the little scene with David Tennant.
It didn't
Tennant.
Have a name when they made it. They put a sort of caption up on the screen during the telethon with what time it was expected to be on, and just a thing saying the new Doctor. I think it said the new Doctor, a new Doctor. But, so I thought that was the title of it for a couple of years. But apparently it's called Born Again, officially, in Russell T Davies' canon.
I just remember it being so eager, so desperate to see, you know, this new Doctor, and it was it seemed like an agonising wait to Christmas. So I remember having, I downloaded the screensaver
that counted down
to the Christmas invasion.
I had that too.
Yeah, so I think them two are my favourites. I mean, I love it seeing when the Doctors interact with the kids. I remember there was a competition where Matt Smith and Karen Gillan had tea with some children in the TARDIS, and it's just little things like that. I always felt sad that Peter Capaldi never really got the opportunity to do that. Well, not on Children in Need anyway.
No. There was a special scene, I think, that they put out, which had got the Paternoster gang in it. That was an exclusive thing. I think that was for Children in Need. I don't think the Doctor was actually in that one. Some of them sort of blamed into one a little, because they did go more into this thing of just giving us the first scene from whatever special was coming next, which I think did start with End of Time, I think, started that one going. But, you know, when you're talking about Time Crash and about Born Again, the gap between The Parting of the Ways and Born Again at the time seemed so long, but it was about 6 months at the most, five months. It wasn't very long at all compared to how Doctor Who fans are kept waiting now. I think the surprise success of Doctor Who had hit the nation right between the eyes. I think that things have certainly altered under Chris Chibnall. They've altered again, haven't they? The cringe. A total change of involvement with both the most recent telethons. They've sort of showcased specific aspects of the charity and specific fans. In 2018, we met Anna, who was a little girl living with cystic fibrosis. She got a mini version of the Doctor's outfit and a bit of a tour around the TARDIS whilst Series 11 was being filmed and broadcast. So it was all very much at the forefront of BBC One then.
That was lovely to see. I mean, I do like, you know, the children, you know, being able to meet the heroes. And I'm glad they've kept that tradition up. But it would have been nice, considering we've had such a drought. It would have been nice just for a little mini soda or something.
Yeah, I think it's understandable when fans, you know, when they advertise something. I mean, you know, we're celebrating Doctor Who Day here, so I won't get too deep into this. But yeah, it's when they advertise something as being a Doctor Who special, you know, a week or two before. A Doctor Who special will be part of Children in Need. That combination of words does raise people's expectations a little, because we do remember.
Yes.
You went straight to Time Crash, you went, you know, straight to Born Again. We remember a Doctor Who special. But this year again, we got to meet Anastasia, this young girl. I can't remember how old she was exactly. Certainly around 10 at the oldest. And she's managing with depression and anxiety and slowly building up courage through going to drama classes outside school. And they'd all been funded by Children in Need, hadn't they? So she was taken into the out of the studio audience, on the big night on Friday the 15th. Tess Daly brought her up, didn't she, for a bit of a chat, and it was all really, really sweet stuff. And then they pulled the Cilla Black routine, didn't they? You know, there's a video call with Doctor Who from America. They're out there promoting the show. Yeah. And then boom, most of the cast are on stage, stood next to this kid. She's overwhelmed, and she's a blubbering wreck, and we're sat on the sofas blubbering too. And you know, it's you can't help but buy into that and remember your own childhood. You know, those of us who, you know, obviously we've been more fortunate for whatever this poor child's been going through, and Jodie Whittaker sort of giving her own sonic screwdriver, and this little girl's just beaming. It's wonderful stuff. I think you would have to be a weeping angel not to be affected by that. But yeah, generally speaking, I can't help but notice how under Chris Chibnall, there's less and less involvement with the Doctor Who production office as these things roll along. Mm. You know, both of these events, I got the impression that the films were made by Children in Need, and the whole thing was managed by them. You know, the cast were brought in for a quick change of clothes. You know, just for 5 minutes with Anastasia, a lovely moment, but it was quite short. And I think that's why some fans feel their expectations have been subverted.
Oh, that word.
Yeah, I had to go for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, who knows what could happen in subsequent years and eras to come. There's still time to donate to Children in Need, of course, through their website. And we'll pop a link to that in the show notes too, along with the donation text line and whatnot. Or you can call now if you're in the UK on 0345 733 2233. That's always up. Children in Need accepts donations, I believe, pretty much all year. They'll take it. I don't know where they put the total together, but it's all good stuff. This year, the BBC are marking Doctor Who Day as best they can, with the premiere of a teaser trailer for Series 12 of Doctor Who, the ultimate in mixed blessing. So this is coming. You've probably seen it already, but Sarah and I, as we're recording this, we haven't. So yeah, we've got 72 hours worth of Zapruder treatments to look forward to. Yeah, so obviously, as we're a Doctor Who podcast, we'll be covering the new series very closely, episode by episode, over the coming months. But before we get this trailer, Sarah, go on. How long do you think it's going to last? What do you think we're going to get? To the nearest 10 seconds. See what you've got.
60 seconds.
You're going at 60.
Yeah.
You're going at 60. I can't go. Okay. I'm going to go. I'm going to have a bit of guts. I'm going to go with 72 seconds.
That's very precise.
Yeah. I think they've kept the fans waiting for so long, and it is Doctor Who Day rather than any old Thursday. Mm. I think that they're going to drop something with a bit more weight.
I hope so because it has been such a long time, and you know, it's been more or less radio silence, you know, no con appearances.
Yeah, so they owe the fan base a good chunk. What do you think? Do you think it'll be something that's sort of specially filmed, or clips from the show? This will get everybody listening to the show laughing, because they'll all know. Let's see if we're right or wrong.
Yeah, little clips. I think I just don't think they'll have time to film something special. Because if they had, I think that would have been shown on Children in Need. That's my thinking. So yeah, I think it is just going to be some random clips. It's probably going to be walking about, reacting to things.
Yeah, well, last year the first thing we got was the scene in the cafeteria, wasn't it? Where Graham, Yaz and Ryan were sat around reading reading the comic, and she was having a cup of tea or something.
Yeah.
And the Flash appeared to come in behind them, and we got a bit of a wispy wink from the Doctor who we'd yet to meet. But it obviously, you know, they were holding, I'd like to think they were holding back then, because they wanted us to first meet that new Doctor in that first episode. So yeah, maybe they will give something a little more this time. There are some nice videos kicking about, you know, fan-made videos, but yeah, the real thing.
Do you think it'll be set to a song again?
Oh, see now, people aren't going to like this, but I can't stand it when they do that. I it's not just because I don't know what any of the pop music is now. You know, I stopped listening to music about 5 years ago, so I don't know what any of it is. But I just think it cheapens it a little bit, and I think it makes Doctor Who seem like, it just makes Doctor Who seem like every other show on TV.
Yeah,
I really do. So I'm hoping not, but I think they will.
It seems what to do you be reckon? I think they will. I think it. Yeah, it's
to have a composer like Sagan Akinola and not use him for things like that. Having said that, you know, as much I like his take on the theme tune, but his incidental music did sort of grate on me a little over the 10 weeks. To have somebody like that and who you can commission for something special to transmit with a new trailer, I'd like to think they'd give it to him, but no, I think.
Well, it'd be nice just to hear the theme tune, to be honest.
I suppose, yeah, little things like that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll We'll soon see. As long as there's no smashed ceilings, no vandalism, thank you very much. Then I'll be a lot happier. When you think about the Doctor Who anniversary and anniversaries generally, how do you feel about this? I mean, with a fandom this big, and something with the legacy and the amount of hours clocked up as the entire series of Doctor Who, you know, it can intimidate people who want to get into it. I mentioned at the top of the show this thing about Doctor Who fans always celebrating something, always marking something and cheering and slapping ourselves on the back. Do you think it's something that could put people off from joining the fandom or trying the show, or is it generally a positive thing?
Yeah, I think generally it is a positive thing.
Because I've been doing it for so long. It's just habit.
I can understand why people get overwhelmed, because there is so much. You need a good friend or family member, I think, to help you. I mean, I'll talk to Dr. Wee, anyone who stands still long enough. So I have no problem helping, you know, anybody get into it. And there has been, especially with Modern Who, there are several eras where you can just kind of, you know, that jumping on point. So I think it gets, and the internet obviously makes it easier. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's particularly a fandom that is gatekeeping.
Are you going to be watching any Doctor Who yourself?
I'm going to try. I'm going to be quite busy. But I usually watch the Day of the Doctor. Well, it's basically anything that was shown on the 50th anniversary, so I'll watch.
So you're celebrating the 6th anniversary of the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that is timey-wimey. I'll watch the Doctor Who at the Proms concert, the Adventure in Space and Time. I always love watching that. 5-ish Doctor's reboot. It never I know it's not an official thing, but it never fails to make me laugh, no matter how many times I watch it. It's going to be bittersweet this time, because obviously the scenes where they break into the Doctor Who experience, I mean, sadly, it's no more.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
The building is no... Oh, when I went to Cardiff, we went to Cardiff Bay, and the entire building's been dismantled, so that was quite sad. It's going to be bittersweet, but it's still fun. Then, obviously, I might try and watch the 5 Doctors as well, because that always makes me smile as well. There's just so much goodness in it. So many quotable lines and
These things that have made an impression on you in particular. You know, the 50th anniversary and things like that. Because for me, you know, you just mentioned the 5 Doctors, and for a long time, the 5 Doctors was the one that I used to watch every anniversary for a few years. And it, you know, come to think of it, I did only have about 10 videotapes worth of Doctor Who. You know, we're talking about through the mid to late 80s. So, you know, I was on rations really compared to, we are spoilt now. But yeah, I always associated with the anniversary. And it's the same with An Unearthly Child. I mean, you know, I can watch these things at any time. And, you know, they're up on Dailymotion and places like that. So anybody can watch them whenever. But I think sort of keeping it and ringing it off as something special, watching it, and that first episode in isolation as well, rather than doing the whole story, there is something about it. It certainly brings back my childhood, and I think it's something that's been picked up by following generations.
It's an easy way in, and you also, you know, because you get 4 and a bit doctors in there, you know, you get a sense of the personalities and all the companions are, and you know, whether you would like, because I'd never seen
a sampler. Is that what you?
Yeah, a sampler. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. I'd never seen any of the Peter Davison stories until then. I'd not seen any Patrick Troughton, and I think it was Patrick Troughton's stuff with the Brigadier. It just made me laugh so much, and that was my way in, you know, to his Doctor. And again, it is just a really nice, fun, entertaining story. I mean, I think Day of the Doctor, it's a bit, obviously because Moffat wrote it, it's a lot more complicated, and you know, you've got to really concentrate on it, and the themes are a bit darker, but again, it's still
fun, isn't it? It's still got this breathlessness about it. It still encapsulates, somehow manages to encapsulate all of Doctor Who in the same way that the five Doctors,
especially the last 5-10 minutes.
There are excerpts from probably both those things you could watch in isolation, and they'd say quite a lot. I mean, I've had numerous Doctor Who cakes and things baked over the years. And I've been to one Doctor Who themed party. Mm-hmm. I won't say I've ever cosplayed, but I have donned a scarf a time or two. And there are photos of that in existence. They will be finding their way to the
top. I need to see.
At some point in the future. We have got something in the pipeline for that. I think I'm going to get that first episode in. More details to come. But I've got something here. I've been doing this a little bit with other guests. So we've been making some videos and other little bits of content here and there with Simon Horton and Adam O'Brien. But I've got my little box here. I'm going to rattle it so people can hear like that. This is my Doctor Who trivia game. You can't have a party without a trivia game, can you?
No.
So I'm going to open my Doctor Who trivia game at random.
Oh, God.
I'm going to shuffle these cards. And I'm going to ask you a question now. After how we're going to test your powers, it is the upgrade your opponent. And it's the upgrade revolution. This is the ultimate Doctor Who trivia game. But it was from Marks and Spencer's. As I keep telling people,
wow.
Like, yeah, this is the real deal. This is. So I'm going to ask you a question. After how many glasses of wine have we had? We're going to test your powers of memory. Right, here we go. In 1978, the Fourth Doctor, Romana and K-9 spent a long time searching for something. What was it?
The key to time.
Yay!
I love that cereal.
I can hear the relief in your voice.
I will get my quiz book out and I shall think of something for the next podcast.
Yeah, come and get me back.
You've got a better memory with me, especially with Classic Home. Yeah, I'm going to have to think of something really tough.
Yeah, it's the new series. I'll be honest, it is the new series stuff with me because there have been so many episodes. I had decades to live with the Classic series for it all to settle in. And as they were coming out on VHS, you know, bit by bit by bit by bit, I've watched them over and over again. And so they all got committed to the long-term memory. Mm. But the new series, from my perspective, has happened really quite quickly, even with these gap years. You know, you're sort of processing one lot of 13 episodes, or 10 episodes, you know, the cringe strikes again, or 10 episodes. But, you know, you get all these, and then, you know, you live with them, and you sort of take them in. And then there's another lot that, you know, so I haven't got the memory with the new stuff that I have with the classic stuff.
Yeah, okay, then I'll look at something Modern Who then for you.
It's only fair to say to people, on the last podcast that we put out, we included an enhanced section, Sarah, myself and Simon Horton talking about the Target books, and we made a little video to go with it so people could see us as well as hear us talking all things Target and going through our collections and whatnot. But that's not the only videos that we've been making. Myself, Simon, Adam O'Brien, also known as the Lethal Monitor, and you, Sarah, you've been involved too, haven't you? We've pulled you over to the Spacebook channel on YouTube to make extra content over the last few months. None of us have ever really made much video before, so we've all been getting used to it and be having a little bit of a laugh. But yeah, there's a whole playlist of around 15 videos there at the moment on YouTube. Look for the Spacebook YouTube channel and you'll see there as Type Over 40, which is my little joke, you know, just because it makes me laugh. So it's a kind of after show, but it's also a before show, and it's an in-between show to all the podcasts that we put out as well. So we're going to get you back for more of that, aren't we, Sarah?
You are, yeah. And you don't have to be just over 40 to be on either.
Oh, no. Oh, I should. No. That's the over 40. It's to do with IQ. It's nothing to do with age. As long as your IQ is over 40, you can come on. So we're going to look for those. Come and find us. Come and have a gawp at us and drop a comment, like and subscribe. And there'll be some more of those things coming up. There's a whole special on Terrence Dicks and lots of Blu-ray talk. General sort of casual geeky chat with Sarah, Simon, Adam and myself. And there'll be more people, no doubt, on the way. We're looking at more ways to sort of push out and expand and develop Type 40 as time goes on. And what with Series 12 coming too, that's going to continue. We've got a few plans for next year as the show kind of reverts back to that review, week by week review format that I think is essential for when new Doctor Who's being broadcast. When you say, Sarah, I think it's give the people yeah. what they want. So if you want to find out what we all think, we're going to be rotating our guests. You know, Sarah's coming, aren't you, Sarah? You drew a straw, didn't you?
I did.
And a few other people as well. Some, all joking apart, there's some voices that you have heard before, like in some brand new voices to Type 40. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining in for Doctor Who Day, Sarah. Just think it'll be the 60th. It'll be the 60th before we know it.
It will be.
Entertainment. Who knows? Doctor Who could be a streaming show by then on BritBox. There are rumours of that already, or on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Some say. What do could you think? Is that likely?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
It'd be strange after all this time, because it is basically the BBC's biggest commodity. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, but it actually is. But yeah, this looks like...
It's still a high-profile show, yeah.
Seems to be heading that way. Time will tell. It always does.
there we go. Ultimate Doctor Who quote, yeah. So, yes, you'll be back, won't you?
I will indeed. Thank you for having me, Dan.
No, it's my pleasure. I'll be back very soon with more Type 40. You can look out for that wherever you found this. It could have been on the Apple Podcasts app. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network on what used to be iTunes. Of course, it's now Apple Podcasts. And drop us a review. It's not just for our egos. I keep insisting this. It's so new listeners can find us easier. And yeah, if you drop us a review, that would be very, very kind. 5 stars would be great, but all feedback, truly all feedback, is welcome. Maybe you stream or download us on the Podbean app, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. It's so easy to use and we're so easy to find. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You'll see our master feed, all our listings there. If you're feeling brave, you can contact any of us directly. Type40DoctorWho@gmail.com. Twitter and Instagram @Type40DoctorWho. There's our Facebook page. That Facebook group, look for Type 40 there. If you want that extra dimensional chit-chat in real time, go on. What's that Twitter handle again, Sarah?
It's Starry-Eyed Girl.
There you go. Easy to remember. We always have the time if you have the space here on Type 40. Happy Doctor Who Day. ¶¶